Hi, good morning to all of you. I would love to come down to shake your hands, but I can't. Could you turn to the person to your left and right and just tell the person, you really look good this morning. And then tell the other person, you look very happy this morning. And talking about happiness, not only I come from Malaysia, I come from the happiest town in Malaysia, and it's called Keluang, all right? Yeah, so if you've not been to Keluang, you must come, because all my Singaporean friends tell me that when I leave Singapore and go into Keluang, the spiritual atmosphere just changed. Somehow, when we leave Singapore, we leave solemn, when we enter into the land of Keluang, suddenly there's joy in my face. It's very hard to explain to you. You must experience it. So please come, you know, and give me a call when you are there, all right? And out of curiosity, is there anyone here from Keluang? Is there anyone here from Keluang? Second question, is there anyone here after I said what I say, you want to come to visit Keluang? Sister, I see your hands. To encourage you, Pastor Patrick, please help me to pass to the sister over there a special gift, hot from the oven, just for you. And give me a call when you come. Sound like a tourist promotion board, right? Once again, good morning to all of you. I paid honor and respect to your senior pastor earlier on, and I want to do it again. And because I personally want to thank LSBC for the work that you are doing. You may not know, but on behalf of many Malaysian churches, you have been an inspiration to many of us, me included, when I was doing CP, community penetration work, up in KL in a place called Cheras. I will leave that message for another time, where I learned a lot from your senior pastor, whom I met in one of the retreats many, many years ago in Perth when we were going for an Arrows retreat. My wife, Kelly, and I, we met him and Auntie Cindy, and we simply adore this couple without knowing the background of LSBC. We find him so humble, so friendly, and it is in knowing a person that later when you find out his credential that our respect for him grew even more. So all the little that you have done for Aukang, for this community, rest assured, it has been multiplied and a tremendous encouragement for many of us. I also want to give thanks to a good friend of mine, Pastor Patrick, who have been serving here for many years, a great friend, and during some of our most challenging moments with my in-laws, during the death and all the kind of stuff, he has been there. And thanks again, Pastor Patrick, and seeing you here serving the church inspired me to go further in this distance with the Lord. I left Singapore in 2027 when I was pastoring here. And when I left, at that time, still, one of my mentors, it's Pastor Eugene. He was here in the first service. And he asked me, why do you want to go back to Malaysia? I said, I want to go back to Malaysia because I want to be with my parents. At that time, my parents were healthy. They were not dying. They have their own life. It dawned on me that it is because that they are still alive that I think this is a precious moment I want to have with my parents. Now, my father comes from, just my father, not my mother, my father comes from a very big family. And let me introduce to you the family tree of just my father. If you can spot my father, is the one yellow. If you see a smiling face, those are my uncle and auntie still alive. If they don't have a smiling face, they have passed on. And every funeral, most of the funeral, in fact, every funeral that has been taking place has been somewhat joyful occasion. And you know by now the number of funerals I've done just for my families. And I thought that was enough. But not only my father comes from a family of 16 siblings, I've got 76 cousins all in together, 111 nephew, and in counting, a lot more nephews and nieces coming about. So I thought, I just need to take care of my parents. Parents care management. Little did I realize that the word responsibility is a word that keep on continuing. This morning's message I'd like to dedicate specially for those of you who are caregivers. When I was in Singapore, the term caregiver became a very new term to me. You know, years ago, you don't have this word called caregiver, but you just use it, caregiver. Much later, I realized that it was a very, very needed ministry, a very needed call, in fact, for many of us. And so I want to thank Singapore for really training, coaching, tutoring me in this area. I am not the best caregiver, and for the rest of my message, you will hear some of my frustration, some of the challenges that I actually went through. So if you look at the picture again, when I left Singapore, one of the projects, see, I speak like a Singaporean, right? One of the projects that I want to do is, I want to gather a reunion for all of them. So in 2010, I call it the mother of all reunion. It took me 2 years to get all the family tree together. And we have a beautiful time, 3 days to celebrate. Hotels, you know, buffets and food, go to the gravesite of great-grandparents. And how we introduce ourselves to one another is very interesting. We don't go by name, because the name means nothing. There's no reference. We go by number. So, for example, I will introduce myself as, "Hi, I am 14.1, and my name is Victor." And the other person will look at me and frown for a moment, 14.1. That means you're the fourth, your father is the 14 siblings, correct? And you're the eldest child. Ah, oh, that's good. Is there a 14.2? Yes, there's a 14.2. Whoa, who is 1.1.1.1? Damn. Who is 16? Wow, that's a very big family. And so in that reunion, there was 350 of them gathered together. It came out in the local newspaper. You know, records says, wow, we have never seen such a huge family before. The saying is true. It takes a village to raise a child. But I also believe it takes a father to tame a child. I also believe that it takes a child in later years to care for the village. And that's what I'm doing in my current state. I like the verse, the famous verse, found in Psalms chapter 127, verse 3 to 5. It says here that sons, children, or daughters, a heritage from the Lord. It makes it sound like the more, the merrier. Children, a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior, are sons, daughters born in one's youth. Therefore, when you're young, when you have many children, that is a blessing. And blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gates. What does it mean? As I ponder on this verse, I realize that it means three things. Number one, children. When you have children, it is like rewards. It's like an award. You get married and you have children and you obey the Adamic mandate to populate earth. These are awards for you to delight. So children, wow. So I look at my grandfather. Wow. Only one grandmother. Grandpa, only one wife. Wow. 16. Wow. What do you do every night? How do you do it? It's amazing. Wow. 16. Wow. And so when we gather, we have really great fun together. Out of curiosity, any one of you here more than 16? Your father, mother, or yourself more than 16? Is there anyone? There is one. Please lift up your hands there more than 16. Pastor Patrick, please help me bless our dear brother right behind there. Wow. I want to have a word with you at the end of today's service. I always thought my family holds the record, you know. Wow. Mistaken, but he lifted up his hand. Lamai, God bless a cheerful hand. Give anyway. Yeah. Oh, the Lord says to you that you will multiply and you have more than 16 in your family. Hallelujah. Oh, no. Many who have two grandmother, three grandmother, more than 16, but you know, there are others. I've heard of 19, you know. So it's a fun time. It's just like that. We do icebreakers, we have great time together, and therefore even our funerals is a very fun type. One of my aunties says that, Victor, when I passed away, they booked their funeral with me and we designed and customized the funeral. And the latest I've done was from an auntie of mine. He says that, Victor, I know you have done great funeral, but for my funeral, no crying. I want joking all the way. I want laughter. It took me a great deal just to make a very, it's not humorous, but fun-filled funeral. And as we gather, we celebrate before the Lord. So I can see, the more you have, wow, it's like an award to delight in one another. Look at in this verse, I also realize that the more you have, it also means that your quiver full of them, the more my grandfather can use the children of earth like arrows and shoot. And like all archers, you don't normally aim very well. And sometimes you miss. And through getting to know a big family, you learn about the mistakes that mom and dad make and their parents make. And as we learn, the down generation, the lower generation, actually learn wisdom. And we are so glad that among the legacies, among what my grandfather has done in his family, a number of us grew up to be full-time pastors, full-time missionaries serving the Lord. Not all, but some of us, we championed that and we really celebrate that. We became arrows that my grandfather used for the kingdom of the Lord. And not only that, I also realized that this also means that in their later years in life, when you're growing old, like many of us here, when you're growing old, you need people to take care of you. And this is a beautiful church, a community church. You have 60 over 60. You have a ministry like that, where you will never grow old alone. And the word of the Lord is true, that even though you're old, your hair is gray, the Lord will not abandon you, even though you think your children have abandoned you. Because in a larger family like this, we want to show. We want to be a family to one another. And your children will be like enemies there to actually defend you. So during my active years in pastoring ministry, especially with my young adults, I asked them three questions. We call it parents management. We talk about death management, just another subject altogether. I actually demonstrate to them how I did my living funeral. So when I passed away, there won't be a funeral like that. You know, it's going to be private. I've already done my funeral, and my parents attended my funeral. You know, my mom attended, my dad attended that funeral. And so with my young adults, I asked them three questions. I said, especially if you're in Singapore now, you came here to study, you're working hard, you graduated, you have become, Pastor Victor, should I become Singapore citizens or not? Let me pray, let me seek the Lord's will. I said, it doesn't matter. You just trust the Lord. If you want to be a citizen, be a citizen. If you want to be a PR, be a PR. Our children have come or no. Be a PR, very expensive. Education, I think I should be a... Doesn't matter. But I feel for many of my young adults in Singapore or in other parts of the world, the parents are still back in Malaysia. Or even for the Singaporeans, your parents are still with you. And it is okay when they are healthy, when they have a life of their own. You go back and celebrate Chinese New Year, Christmas, their birthday. Special occasion, you do and do it. That's really good. But I said, there are three questions I'd like to ask you to really think hard. And these are the three questions I'm going to show you. And you can also discuss that in your cell group. Let's just say, you have a choice to decide who to die first. Mommy die first or daddy die first? What will you choose? Which is easier? The word is easier. Which is easier? So you're thinking of yourself, you know. Which is easier for me? Mommy die first or daddy die first? Of course, you don't discuss with them. So you think. You discuss with your spouse, you discuss with your sibling. But if you have got younger children, tonight, maybe sometime this week, or maybe sometime during Chinese New Year, when the mood is fun, you try to ask your children and see, 12-year-old, 14-year-old, hey, Jonah, hey, Junior, what do you think? Who you think better lah, die first? Mommy die first or daddy die first? Do not be offended however they answer. Because the way they answer, the way they think, it will be very interesting. So you try that with your children and see, you know. If not, within cell group, easier lah. Mommy die first, daddy die first. You will change as the year pass. You may change. So that's the first question. The second question I asked them will be this. What are your plans? If you have the privilege of knowing that your parents will be physically dependent on you in the next 7 days, next week, suddenly you realize that one of your parents need to be physically dependent on you. What are your plans? Quit your job? Nah, no way. Invite them to come to stay with you? Really? You have enough space in your apartment, in your house? You sure you want to do that? Don't you need to ask permission from your spouse or your children? It's going to inconvenience you. What if your parents are not here in Singapore? They're in Malaysia or somewhere else. Well, you got to take leave to go and shuttle to visit them for hospital. How long do you want to do that for? And it didn't happen immediately. It didn't happen in months. You have exactly 7 days. It's just one of those ice-breaking questions, all right? So think about it. It helped you to be resilient. It helped you to be more ready. And the third question is a community question I ask my young adult. I say this is that, look at your parents. Who are the three people? Who are the three people in your parents' life you can rely on for help in parents' care management? Is it an uncle? Is it an auntie? Is it a neighbor? Is it a pastor? Why do you ask that question? Because from the onset, if I can identify at least three people that can help my parents or my parents have got chemistry with, right now as a son, I want to get to know them. They are my parents' friend, but I want to get to know them because the day will come where I really need to rely on them and I will always be grateful to them. So three simple questions for you to think about, to discuss, to talk. There's no right or wrong answers. But you watch your children discussing it. You watch it and see, you know, it's pretty interesting. So in my journey in parents' care management, it dawned on me that actually, when I say I want to care for them, they actually go through three phases in their life. The first phase is what I call the phase of caring for them daily. Now, and most of us, we won't do that because mom, dad, they can take care of themselves, they get a helper for you, you know. So I saw that coming. But I told myself, my wife and I, said, well, I've been a pastor for many years. And I think if I continue on this journey, you know, is there a hierarchy to be a pastor? Maybe this pastor, that kind of thing. After a while, I realized that it is just me. This is not your pastor, this is just me. It can be just be a job, a professional job. And I do it well. But when I look at my parents and I say that, Mom, you dedicated me when she was 16 years old, before she got married. She came before the Lord and says, Lord, I want to give my son to be a full-time minister. And every year after that, she pray. And today, I'm a pastor, and I look at my mom and says, Mom, you took care of me. Mom, you have given the best of your years for me. Let me now give the best of my years for you. At that time, my mom didn't have dementia, and I knew she was very touched. And I want to do it daily, in a normal routine, when it's very boring, who you go out with, who you have breakfast with, the people that you hang out with. I want to know your friends. And I don't want to do it as a ministry. I don't want to do it because it's a project. I want to do it because I took time off to do it. And when I do that, it's very scary. Suddenly, you have no income. Suddenly, you are... I won't say you're nobody, but nobody invites you. You're no longer the pastor that used to be. All that you're doing is you're spending time with your parents daily. And when I do that, I thought I was ready for that. No. I realized that as a son, I keep correcting my mom and my dad. I keep telling them, don't do this, don't do that. I keep the typical me. What is right, what is wrong, what is right, what is wrong, in the name of responsibility. The word responsibility is synonymous to duty. I'm doing it as a duty. Why am I doing it? Why can't I just connect with them and don't keep correcting them? And the more I correct, the more frustrated I become. And it is frustrated because I am right. Definitely, you know, I am right. You are wrong, mom and dad. And I love you, that's why I correct you. That's what I normally used to think. The Lord says, Victor, can you don't do that? Can you just connect with them even though they are wrong? Can you just laugh with them even though they are wrong? Can you not size up everything, survey everything, source out everything, then solve their problem? Can you don't solve problem? Just be with them, enjoy the time with them in spite of all this mistake that you make. And so I began to do that, and it became to be very interesting. I learned that as I be with them daily, I am daily adding good memories for them. I thought for them, and I say, no, actually I'm giving myself good memories through the final years of their life. Looking back, I say, over the years, wow, there are so many good memories. And I just show you some of those photos. You see the two rubber ducky duck there. And when mom had dementia, the only way for me to call her is to use the rubber chicken. Peep, 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 peep. She knows I'm around. When I come, when the chicken makes noise, she will start smiling. I say, oh, that's so beautiful. And then you will see me taking my mom on a motorbike, you know. And the last time I did it was for my wife, for my girlfriend, on a motorbike. Where got son take mother on motorbike? And so when my mom gone on a motorbike and I went around my whole Taman estate, you know, from the rear mirror, I look at her, dementia. You know, she will look around and she will start waving her hand. And I will be embarrassed. I'll be like, the whole village is looking at me. What is this crazy guy doing? Going around motorbike with this old woman. But from the rear mirror, when I see her smile, toothless, you know, and waving her hair, I don't know how to explain to you. But it's just like, God, it is just so good to see mommy still smiling in spite of her dementia. It is hard. Even dementia strikes anybody, everybody, regardless of age, size, race. And there are many queer habits. My mother has so many, you know. When I want a tissue paper, mom, can I have tissue paper? She will put her hands inside her bra. Nah. And then she will take flower pots from the garden, happily bring the flower pots into her bedroom toilet. After a while, it becomes the Garden of Eden. And I will start correcting my mom. You don't do this. A, B, C, D. And again, I catch myself doing it. And the Lord says, why don't you just connect with her? I said, how do you connect with her? It's going to be dirty, it's filthy. You look at the feces, you know, and all that. Just connect. I said, okay, God, I will try. So what I did, I said, mom, this morning, let's do it together. We will take the flower pots together and we will go to your room together. We'll do all that and redecorate. At nighttime, I'll take everything out again, put outside. Next morning, same thing happening again and again. From frustration, from just doing a duty, after a while, it's kind of fun. And then I got an idea. I said, mom, actually now you don't need to do it anymore because your toilet bowl is a natural flower pot. So I took the flower and I put it inside the toilet bowl. I invite, mom, let's go to the toilet today. When she wanted, I said, ta-da! When she saw the flowers in the toilet bowl, she started laughing. Wow, I say, I've not seen my mom laughing. And the Lord says, just laugh with her. It doesn't make sense. Just laugh. Just connect with her. And the more I laugh, the more I have humor with her, the more God gives me a glimpse of what's in her mind and which period of time she's going through. And when she doesn't want to wear her nightgown to sleep, the Lord says, you know, all things to all men. To the Jew, be like a Jew. To a Gentile, be a Gentile.
to your mother, be like a mother. I said, what? What do? Wear her nightgown. So nighttime I go, I will wear her nightgown. Hello, mom, let's go and sleep, you know. Feel totally embarrassed. But now when you ask me to do it, I'm a natural. So we laugh and laugh and laugh, and the more I do it, I realize these are memories for me when the later years come for her to say goodbye. So if you're a caregiver, I want to encourage you to just connect with your parents to the best you can. You are right. Parents are wrong. You know? No. Because you are right, just connect. There's a second phase, which all of us know that you will go through in parents' care management. The first is just the daily thing that you do, you know, going to shopping, groceries, stuff like that. The second stage, it will come to a point in time where they will be hospitalized. I call this the disability stage, where they need to be physically dependent on you. And what has the Lord taught me during this season? I learned this, that I need to learn to relate to my dad, to my mom as a person, not a patient. You see, medical treatment, you know, wherever you are, it's really expensive. It costs a lot, you know. And for many of us from smaller towns, you know, a lot of us, we cannot afford. And if you can afford, we always want to give the best treatment. And I feel that if I don't give the best treatment for my mom's dementia, for my dad's heart condition, his kidney and all, my dad is a museum of tropical diseases, you know. Oh, you know, he's there, you know. If I don't do that, I'm a terrible son. So money matters, best treatment matters, and I would spend a lot of time doing it. And I also realize that when I do it, while I may give them the best treatment for the body, I actually didn't give them the best treatment for their soul. And so what? So what? I didn't get the best advice or the best medication for my parents. But my mom and dad know, I'm there with them. So when we went to the hospital, it used to be very stressful. Now it's really fun. You know, it's interesting, huh? Very fun going to the hospital with my parents. You know, wheelchair, whatever. At one time, seven of them, one shot in the hospital. Uncle, aunties, you know, all wheelchair. And the hospital look at me and say, can we hire you to be a caregiver? I say, why? The people you bring in all very happy. When, you know, what are you doing? I just say, praise God, it's God's peace, you know, for them. And so in the hospital, I will tell the doctor, actually, doctor, everything that you tell my mama, I can also do it. All your diagnosis and all your dementia tests, you do it, I can do it even better. I even told the doctor, I tell you what, while we're all waiting, why don't you treat patient A? I help you to manage all the other patients outside because they look very bored. I can actually do that, you know, for them. And I get my mom involved, you know, and all that. So it becomes to be pretty fun kind of a thing, meaningful kind of thing. And finally, I told the doctor, since everything you tell my mom is the same and I pay you anyway, I tell you what, don't give them any more medication because they're not taking, or if they're taking, you know, it doesn't help much. I just pay you. You just spend time with my mom and dad. Because somehow they love to talk to doctors. They love to confide in doctors, everything that they don't tell me. And when they tell the doctors about their life, and when the doctors ask those very good questions, you know, do you know who loves you? My mom will say, my son. Do you know where's your son? She'll look around. There. Wow, it really means a lot. So I add value to all the medical treatment. I add meaning to medical care, but I don't need to give them the best. Number one, I can't afford. Number two, it's so subjective. You say A, you say B. Instead of chasing best medical advice, whatever I have, mom, dad, I'm physically here with you. I will do that for you. At one time, my mom called up. Kring, kring. Victor, when are you coming for lunch? I say, Mom, every day I come for lunch at... Oh, okay, but don't say that. Mom, I'm coming at 12 o'clock, okay? 12 o'clock I come, got 1.5 hour time. I come, I'm just nearby, I went out for a while. I came at 12 o'clock, from outside the house, I look in, I saw my dad on the floor. The wheelchair, he fell from the wheelchair on the floor. And he was not moving. I say, oh no, father fell, father died. Wow. So I quickly rush in. I look at my dad. I touch my dad. Pa, are you okay? He moved. Oh, thank God. He's alive. Then next, you check any blood. And of course, son, you ask, what happened? What did my father say? Your mama, stupid woman. I tell her to call you. I fell down 1 hour ago. I asked her to call you. No, I said, I need help. I've been lying here. It's so painful. Now, just for the context, my dad is very manja one. So when he did that, it's really good. You know, sometimes we say, serve you right, dad. But we don't do it. You know, so yeah, actually, you deserve it. You know, but well, he was complaining, but no blood or anything. I said, where's mother? He said, how do I know where's your mother? Please help me up. Well, help you now, pretend now. No, 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 no. Mom, where are you? Mom, did mom fall? Mom came out in her nightgown, 12 o'clock nightgown, smiling away, toothless, you know, and I said, mom, why didn't you call me to tell me that papa fell? Mom said, I call you what? I call you, ask you what time is lunch, ma. I said, mom, next time, when papa fell down, the first thing you do is you call me. My number is here. Try out, you call me. I'll come immediately when I go out. A week or two later, mom called again. Cring, 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 cring. Hello. How are you, mom? Papa is in the garden. Ah, yes. How's everything? I think he fell down. Yep. And I was rushing there. The rain came. I said, die, 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 die. Father fell down, rain came. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. So when I arrived there, I saw my father lying in the garden. Now, I have told him a million times that you are old, your legs are weak, you're in a wheelchair, don't go into the garden. Why do you want to go into the garden? Just to look at it. And why do you want to do gardening when you're on a wheelchair? You know, parents are amazing people, right? You know, why do you do it? Sons are even more amazing, right? Keep asking why. The Lord says, can you don't correct? Just be. I said, now my dad fell down. So I went there. He's drenched. I'm drenched. I see him crying as I was about to do the heroic thing, to go to rescue him. From the corner of my eye, I saw my mother, dementia mother, in a nightgown, coming out with a wheelchair in the rain. The last time my mom cared for my father was a long time ago. This is one moment in time where once again, I got to see how my mother, my dementia mother, caring for her husband. I don't even know if you know what she's doing. She's just pushing out the wheelchair. As a son, I should go and help, right? I didn't. I did a very naughty thing. You know, I stood there, I took out my camera, and I videotaped it. I said, but my father could have died. I don't know how bad. Lamai, lamai. Videotape first. Die also. Lamai, 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 lamai. Just do that. So I videotaped my mom. Go to help my dad. And then I saw my dad crying. Look at my mom, my dad crying. Oh, yo, I don't know how to explain to you. Very beautiful. Finally, dad, now you know how much mom loves you. All this year, she take care of you. Now in her demented state, she can still do that. Of course, I went to my dad after that. And then when my dad saw me, you know, and he was crying, then when he saw me, he laughed. I said, Dad, you're very, very funny. You know, help him up, say, Dad, next time, don't go to the garden again. From that day onwards, he never go up to the garden, you know, anymore. So every other day in their disability stage, in their treatment stage, there will be one or two stories. And of course, I write it down. And in every one of those stories, I am adding meaning to my life, to their life. You say there are three stages in parents' care management. Yes, daily, when they're disabled. And of course, the final stage in parents' care management is what I call in their death or in their dying days. It gets a lot more difficult. Both of them are still alive. And I do not know when they will go. It can be any time. But I realized that when I went back to my hometown, Keluang, to be with them, thinking that I did the noble thing,
actually, God is doing me a favor. God is helping me to grieve meaningfully. You and I have been enough, we have been to enough funeral to see how grief in all shapes and sizes takes place. Professionals will tell you, you go through 5 stages of grief. We can analyze all that. But professionals will also tell you, all our grief, we all grieve differently. And realize, for me personally, my grieving doesn't begin next to the casket. My grieving begins now, when I'm doing this every day for them. And in my grieving with them, I realize that when the time for them to go, we won't be doing the typical funeral like what you actually see happening. Because in a public funeral, I already know that I will be doing their funeral by default. I already know I will be giving the eulogy. So I told mom and dad and my family members that let's not do that. Let's just learn to be family again when they pass away. Let the program be us and not the songs, the people. Let there be no performance. Let us learn to love one another and tell stories. Let's bring up again all their photos. And as siblings, let us share with one another. And as we are doing it, our children are watching us. Our children are watching us. We're helping them to reconnect again one more time. Because it takes a funeral to teach us how to be family again. And if the funeral is public, we have to perform. How are you? Thank you for coming. We repeat the story many, 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 many times. So for my parents, they know. I say, Pa, Ma, when you die, no public, you know. You say, oh, what like that? I explain to them. I say, Pa, you die, I don't do public, you also don't know, Ma. So what's the point, you know? And then, Pa, when you die, right, your coffin there, right? You have seen me do enough, right? So I'll say this, I say that. I say to you now, lo, you better listen to me when you're still alive, lo. And then, mother, same thing, lo. So I say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show this video, I tell them. I'm going to show them this video so that when you see this video, you will know that this is what I'm going to do, lo. Oh, what other thing to do? I will show you your photo, lo, Pa. This is your photo. Ah, nice picture, I like it not. Okay, mom, this is nice not. Whoa, remember those? Oh, yeah, these are the songs, you know, that I've selected for you. This is your favorite memory verse, you know. We'll do it together. Then your nephew will do this, your grandson will do this, you know, and all that. We're gonna have teh-tarik together, we're gonna celebrate together, we're gonna laugh together, we're gonna do all these things together. So my dad says, wow, that's really good. So about 18 years ago, the Lord told me that, how are you going to grieve, Victor? I don't know. When I flip back all the earliest photograph, the black and white, it means a lot. It does something, very therapeutic. Go and look back at some of the old photographs. And I say, okay, at their funeral, if I show them the video, they die already. They're not going to see. The person who's going to look good is me, you know? So I want to show them the video when they're still alive. But how do you show a video of your parents' funeral when they're still alive? That's where I did my living funeral. And then in my living funeral, it's actually 4 funerals in one, where my parents attended my funeral and I honored them by showing them that actually it's not my funeral, it's a funeral for you, mom and dad. I'd like to show you this short video, a tribute to my mom, so that you will know my mom a little bit better. She means nothing to you, but just look at her life. It's how a son will want to pay tribute to the mother. So just watch this video, a tribute to my mother.
I'm so involved with Shelter Kick. This has something to do from my very early years when I was a schoolgirl. God has already put in me, in my heart, children's life. I was at the age of 8. My father registered me in the convent, and I enjoyed my school days very much because the Canossian sisters, they set very good example through their life, very sacrificial. And I've learned so much from them that has made a big difference to my life even to today. And I came to know God there, and that's where I had a very, very deep within me also wanted to serve God. So when I was married with children, I have no time at all. So when I retired, I was able to volunteer as a full-time to a couple shelter. And I find through this 20 years of shelter, many children have come. Those who came with very difficult character, we are able to share God and teaching them the discipline, the fear of God. And many has changed and transformed. That has been a joy to me because it is my calling.
When I was young, I listened to
my fondest childhood memory was my late father every evening put me on the swing. The swing was hanging from the tree. He would, from the back, he would push. My father was a very kind, gentle and loving father. I remember best always taking me to Singapore when he was on his business trip with his driver and just myself, and taking me to the happy world, great world, where I was able to enjoy the car ride. My late mother, more I remember her as a very strict mom. As a child, I liked to catch spider around the house. I went against her order, so I was really caned very hard. I remember that caning that left a mark on my thigh. But on the whole, I know that she loves me. She was a great mom. I met my husband when I was 13. Not knowing to me, he already noticed me. His sister was my neighbor. He saw me when he left for his hometown in Sikamat. He wrote me letters, want to be a pen friend. First letter, no reply. I think I only replied on the third letter. As pen friends, we met when he came to Kluang again, and slowly the friendship grew. I appreciate his patience. He is a patient man. I appreciate his cooking. So I enjoy learning making the jam tart, the achar, all this I learned from him. The things that I enjoy most with my family is spending time together. I always look forward to have them back, spending time with them, sharing with them, and they share with me, and doing all the things together, going to the seaside together, having dinner together. And now with the grandchildren, it's really great to be with them because they are very lively boys. So the three boys, on the whole, they are very loving. I can see that they are God-fearing. Easy to look after. Only thing that the early years, he was not very healthy, a little bit asthmatic, well-behaved in the sense that when we told him not to take anything cold, he listens and he obeys. So bringing up Victor has no problem at all because he does not show his temper. He grew up well, very mild in his way. Very active, hyper. My late mother helped to look after him for us. So very pampered by my late mom, but well, loving him and knowing him, understanding him, everything on the whole went well. Gentle in his way, understanding too, as a young child, he know to do his work, he doesn't trouble us much. He behaved well, he plays game, he informs us whenever he wants to go out. I remember him. Lisa being the youngest, we sent her to the convent. We find that she's a bit reserved. We've got to push her a little bit. Every afternoon when she goes for tuition, I have to remind her of the danger. So sometimes she gets a bit annoyed when I keep on reminding her, but it was the fear in me. She's easy to look after from young. Feeding time, I remember, she's the easiest. She will eat whatever you give her. She loves veggie, and with her mouth open, well, within a very short time only, she will finish her meal. My favorite Christine song is Nearer My God to Thee. Nearer my God to thee, nearer to thee. Psalm 18. I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I'm safe from my enemies. Nearer to thee. My final words to everybody will be, fear the Lord, love your families, be a blessing to your family, and be a blessing to all those who are in your lives. I always advise the children at the shelter that God has given them a chance to come to shelter. Later in their life, remember the good things that they have received. And whoever come into their life that need help, stretch out your arms and help them. And be a blessing, just as you are blessed. Father God, I do thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness in our lives, Lord. Continue to lead us and to guide us every day in our walk with you, to be a blessing to others and to bring joy to those who need us. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's my mom. You do not know her. Actually, in many senses, it's like I'm doing her funeral now with all of you. And if you have noticed carefully, the things that you have seen just now, it's just not a son, Victor, taking care of my mom. I'm very centered in this sharing on me. But in reality, I'm very blessed to have siblings and nephews who are also doing it. You see, I am also growing older. I may die before my parents. But because of what we are doing as a family, the grandchildren, the nephews, the nieces, the people around us, they are watching. And they are also growing older. And they are actually involved in us in this whole journey. There's a movie I'd like to recommend to all of you. It's a Thai movie. I'm not sure if you watch it. It's entitled How to Make Millions When Grandma Dies. All right? So if you're not watching it, watch it. There's another version. Just ignore all the Chinese religious part called The Last Dance. I told my pastors, watch The Last Dance because you will do funeral differently. If you think you are sidelined from your parents for whatever reason, some of these movies are really good. And as a family, when we do it together, we realize that we are grieving meaningfully. So the day will come, obviously, when I will say goodbye to my parents. Will there be regret? There will always be regret. I wish I've done this. I wish I've done that. I cannot change that. But I'm able to manage my regrets better because of this journey that I'm going through. The Word of God says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, my parents, you have done it unto me. When my mom dedicated me to be a full-time minister many, many, many years ago, I look back now and I say that, wow, mom, now in taking care of you, in being with you, now I know what it means to be a pastor. Last time, I know all the mechanics, very professional. Now, I know what it really means. Thank you. Even in your dementia stage, right now, mom, you are still speaking to me through the Lord. You have become for me a human living document that in taking care of you and that it's my privilege, my honor. As I close, I know seated here, there are a number of elderlies, whatever station in life you are going through. My encouragement for those of you who are being taken care of right now is just simple.
Learn to say the word thank you to your sons, to your daughters, to the people who are taking care of you, including the maids and the helpers. The picture, the video you saw just now, it's not the mom I have right now. She's totally a changed person. But once a while, in the midst of taking care of her, she will turn to me and she will say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Just that two words means so much to me. And so I tell myself, when I grow old, when people are taking care of me, I wouldn't want to take them for granted. I would want to learn to say thank you. I believe many, many of you here right now, you are caregiver. This message is dedicated to you to show you that through from my life, through my experience, with all my imperfection, that I salute you in whatever capacity, in whatever way you are doing for mom, dad, uncle, auntie, or even your own children. Did you ask for this life? I don't think so. Are you a responsible person? You definitely are. Do you feel frustrated? Yes. Are you angry sometimes? Yeah. Do you feel life is unfair? Why you and not your siblings? Why you and why not somebody else? Do you feel economically shortchanged? That parents take care of you for 10, 20 years. And now in the later part of your life, you're taking care of them. 10 years for 10 years? No, my mom and dad still alive. The longer that they are alive, the more they are taking off time off you. Is that fair? And when we begin to ask questions like this, we begin to relook at our life again. We begin to ask ourselves again, what does it mean to be a child of God? What it means to be a son, to be a daughter? Because when you take care of your parents, all your gadgets cannot be there anymore. You're just taking care of a human being. You learn to rehumanize yourself once again. And in those precious moments, I believe God will speak to you, God will bless you. So let's bow our heads, let's just close our eyes. And I'd like to pray first for all the elderly here who are being taken care of. And later on, I'll pray a short prayer for the caregivers. If you're sitting on a wheelchair, if you're not feeling well, if you're feeling hopeless, defeated, the Lord wants to say this to you. I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. You may be old, you may be frail, but I will never abandon you. Here in this church, we are family. Here in this church, learn to laugh, learn to celebrate life. Every day that you are alive, it's a grace of the Lord. Every day that you are alive, you can still serve Him by smiling, by saying something nice to the people around you. And the word of the Lord for you here is this, that He will not abandon you. And when your time has come, the Lord Himself who delivered you will also close your eyes. And when that day comes, it will be a beautiful day. I especially want to pray for those of you who are caregivers. Therefore, if you're caring for a parent or a child or somebody who is disabled in your life, wherever you are, I'd just like you to stand up. And I want to honor you by giving me this privilege to pray for you. And so for all caregivers who are here, just stand wherever you are, and I want to pray a special prayer of blessing for you. Father God, you see these who are standing. Lord, they have done so much. It has been a difficult journey. Today, God, when we stand, we don't stand boasting that we are responsible, we are good. In fact, we are so imperfect in so many ways. It can be so frustrating. It can be so lonely. God, in all our prayers, we pray that, God, you will hear our prayers. The Lord says that, yes, you are imperfect. But the Lord also says, you are beautifully imperfect. Whoever you are caring for, I ask that whatever that you are doing for that person, as you refresh these people,
the Lord will refresh you. And when your time comes, the Lord says this to you, that there will be people that will also take care of you. This morning as we end, you have thanked God for many things. Today, the Lord Jesus Himself wants to say to you, thank you. Thank you for taking care of the people around you. The Lord says, thank you. The Lord says, I know. I have seen what you have been doing. Behind the curtain, I know everything that is happening. And the Lord says, thank you. And in your quiet moments before the Lord, I pray that God will refresh you, strengthen you, nourish you. And in this journey, you will learn to turn what you call duty into something we call devotion. And you will turn devotion into delight. And the more you care for the people around you, the more you know that you must fall in love with Jesus in a new way. And He will supernaturally fill you, empower you, to give you the capacity to care. And best of all, when you're doing it, the people around you will be inspired. They will look at you and they will say, wow, thank you for doing that.